We're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 through 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 through 19. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we just judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committing unto us the word of reconciliation.
What a blessing it is to be here on this morning to stand before the throne of God, the Ancient of Days, and to stand before his great, august people. And the reason why we say that is because you are a great people. You're a great people because you're in Christ. And the very fact that you're in Christ, you've had all your sins washed away. And since you have all your sins washed away, you ought to be eternally grateful that you're on your way to heaven. And because we're on our way to heaven, we ought to behave that way. Isn't it interesting that as the people of God, we come to worship God in spirit and in truth? It's something that we should never take for granted. As a matter of fact, our lifestyle ought to depict Christ living in us, the hope of glory. And the very fact that we have his instructions in our hearts, the very fact that we spend time in his word, the very fact that he has given us eternal life, we ought to do our level best to share that with many, to teach people the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the very appearance of Christ, the kingdom of God. Friends, we ought to be willing to do that because of what he did for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 19, as we embark on another lesson under the title, In Christ, I want to put a subtitle to this, Freshness Because of Christ. Freshness because of Christ. And you'll see why we are saying that in a few minutes. Let's read those passages again for emphasis. For the love of Christ constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When I think about these great passages and the context in which they're found in, first of all, when we consider 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, the focus is to look at spiritual things, to look at things from a spiritual perspective and not a physical. One of the most difficult things to do is to look at things spiritually. We live in this flesh. We're in this flesh 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So everything that we look through is through this flesh. But we need something else that's going to instruct us on how to look at things spiritually. One cannot endure affliction. One cannot go through hardship. One cannot go through confusion unless they look at things through the Spirit's teaching. Through the law of the Spirit, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Through the perfect law of liberty, James 1, 25. One has to have the spiritual teaching in order to see things spiritually. Unfortunately, we have many who are trying to see things spiritually, yet through their own lenses. For the Apostle Paul would say in verses 1 through 8, as he brings up the resurrection, and friends, when we consider this great resurrection, Paul there in this particular text brings up a new body, that we're in this fleshly body and we're yearning to be unclothed, but we're actually yearning to be clothed with immortality, swallowed up in life, if you will, eternal life. So right now we have to live in this flesh. Right now it seems as if that as we are yearning for that new body, as John would say in 1 John 3, the first three verses, we don't know what we're going to be like, but we do know we're going to be as he is, and everyone that has this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. And I want us to consider that real quick, because sometimes in this flesh, depending on what's going on with it, whether it is emotional, psychological, whether it's physical ailments, it's hard for us sometimes to see through certain things. Yet the Apostle Paul says there that we are groaning for that spiritual body, that we may be clothed with life, eternal life. Then he talks about in verses 9 through verse number 11, which is interesting, that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer to things that we have done. Notice where in this body. That's the locale. That's the location. That's where we live, friends. We live in this body. And because of that, we're going to give an account of the things that we have done in this body, whether they be good or bad. And because of this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, I want us to consider that. Because as the Apostle Paul is dealing with the brethren at Corinth, and you can't go through the New Testament without seeing the correlation between the old system and the new system. Here we understand that there were always those who were trying to submit themselves under that old system. If we were to apply that today, we have very few that are trying to submit themselves to the law of Moses. But they are trying to submit themselves under the system in which they were under before Christ. Whether it is in the denominational realm, whether it is something that they did on their own, whether they conjure up their own mentality and standard of life, there is the battle right there. So the Apostle Paul brings up something as it relates to the love of Christ. Now, a few weeks ago, we had a Q&A. And we talked about what is the love of God? What is the love of Christ? Don't have time to go over that again, but put this in your notes. John chapter 15, verses 6 through verse number 11. And there you'll find the love of Christ. And here we see that Jesus, he abided in the love of his Father by keeping his commandments. He tells his disciples, abide in my love, keep my commandments. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I say. So notice what Paul says in verse number 14 as we bring this into a contextual setting, and then we'll make some type of application. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. When we consider the love of Christ, for those who may be unlearned or maybe just don't know, don't presuppose that the love of Christ is some fuzzy feeling. The love of Christ is the will of God. The love of Christ is the word of God, is the law of God. And when we consider God's love, it is a great thing that God loved us so much that not only did he give us his son, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and following, but he gave us his word. He gave us instructions to live by. And no wonder Jesus would say, if you love me, keep my commandments. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I say. That's the love of Christ. And here the Apostle Paul says that this constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If Christ died for all men, and he did, that means all were dead. But what type of dead? Were they physically dead? Of course not. He must be talking spiritual. Remember, we want to look at things through the spiritual context of Jesus, if you will. We want to look at things from where God is. So here, if all were dead, Romans 3 and verse number 23, there the contextual setting is those under the patriarchal system and those under the Mosaic system were dead in sin, therefore classified under sin so God could die for them and therefore justify them by his blood and also by his resurrection. Romans 3, verse 24, Romans 4, verse 24. But notice what he goes on to say. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which should live, or they which live, should not henceforth, listen to this, friends, live unto themselves. That's the struggle right there, Rick Popejoy, that I want to live to myself. And the first thing that Jesus told his disciples in Luke 9 and verse number 23, that if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow after me. Now, this particular sermon here is designed to encourage us not to live unto ourselves, but to live a life of freshness. We'll look at this here in a few seconds. But notice, the imploring, if you will, the begging, if you will, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. That's Christ. We know that Jesus died for all men. John 19, verse number 34 and following, Jesus was on that cross, and the Bible teaches us that that soldier pierced him in the side, and forthwith came blood and water. Jesus said on one occasion, he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and he gave up the ghost. So this man, Jesus Christ, died for all men, whether they loved him or not, Romans 5 and verse 8. But notice what he says. And rose again. Now that's important in the text. Friends, according to Romans 4 verse 25, Jesus was raised for our justification. Let us make a quick point here. We have those in the religious world and even in the church today who say that, you know what, we need to trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it again. The finished work of Christ on the cross was inclusive of his resurrection and also his ascension. Why? Because we could not be declared right before God. That's justification, unless he was raised from the dead. And friends, and this is why when we're raised from the dead of sin in baptism, therefore, we're walking in the newness of life, Romans chapter 6. And therefore, people get to see Christ living in us, the hope of glory. Friends, that's vitally important for us to understand. Notice what he says in verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, he said, I said all of those things to say this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's our word, fresh. He's a new creature. If you're a child of God, and, you know, worship is for us. It's to encourage us, to strengthen us in the word, to remind us of what Jesus did for us in his godly life. Romans chapter 5, on the cross, John 18 and 19, in his resurrection, Romans chapter 4. As he is at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession and mediation for us, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Friends, notice what he says here. He is a new creature. Old things. Word old there is the idea of ancient. Ancient things. Things of the past. Those things that influenced you. Those things that you identified with. Those things that made you, you. Those things have passed away. Behold, all things are made fresh, new. I want us to consider this real quick. Because the very fact that we are in Christ, those old things, listen to these things, as it relates to our character, principles, rules, governmental authorities, the original state of man due to his involvement in sin. I did not say that he was born in sin. I said because of his involvement in sin, there are some rules and principles and magistrates in his heart, in his mind, in her heart, in her mind that governs their lives. I've been there. If you have been baptized into Christ, you've been there. If you have lived any type of life before Christ that was antagonistic against the will of God, you've been there. You have caused yourself to live a certain life that was totally against God, that God wasn't pleased with. Those are the ancient things, the archaic things. Yet, notice what he says in that same verse. Behold, all things become new, fresh, which only takes place through regeneration. Friends, let's take a little trek through the scriptures and we'll come back. The old man, the archaic one, is the one according to Ephesians 4. Let's turn there real quick. Let's do a little bit of teaching and we'll do some preaching here in a few minutes if we have time. Verses 17 through 19, Paul is reminding the church at Ephesus the same thing that he reminded the church at Colossae. And friends, there is a struggle sometimes between our old man and new man. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. It's just the way it is. We're in this flesh. We're in this body. And we need to recognize it for what it is and be truthful and honest with ourselves. This I say, therefore, verse 17, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles, walk in the vanity, the futility, the emptiness of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. Notice all of the negative things that's in that text. Understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, ignorant, blind. And really, friends, that's where most of the world is. And unfortunately, sometimes in the church, we allow ourselves to be in those particular positions in life. Hence the reason we have to study the scriptures. We have to read the word of God. Notice, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all cleanliness with greediness. Notice that past feeling. They've done wrong for so long that they don't even feel it no more. You know people like that? I've been there before. And it is not a good feeling. Drop down to verse 22, and then we'll come back up to verse number 20 here in a few minutes. That you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man, notice the language that he used here, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Friends, it's imperative for us to understand that lust starts within. Turn to James 1. In James chapter 1, friends, all lust begins on the inside of us. And this is why we have to control our thinking, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Starting at verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Let's stop there real quick and give a word of exhortation. You know, when you go through a trial, a temptation, and you say to that temptation, no, because I love God. I'm not doing that. You know you got something waiting on you? A crown of life. Friends, we need that encouragement. We can't be taking the encouragement from the world all of the time, talking about, well, if you do this, we'll give you this. Friends, they might give it to you, they might not, but God will. You will get the crown of life. Notice what he goes on to say. Which the Lord has promised to them that love him. How much do you love God? And friends, that's the question. The operative question to me and to you is, do you love God? Mike, do you love God? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own lust and, notice, enticed. The idea of being enticed is drug away. Well, we don't want to be drug away from God. Let me tell you what drags us away. Peyton, you know what drags us away? False doctrine. False doctrine drags us away from God. When we want to believe something that the Bible doesn't teach, that drags us away. You know what else drags us away? What drags us away is the lust of the flesh. That drags us away. The temptation, the allurements of this life, the shining gold and the things of this world that causes us to question God or causes us to be a people, listen to this, that are willing to compromise. Don't compromise your Christianity. Don't compromise your love for God. And friends, we have to be mindful of that. Notice what he goes on to say. Verse 15, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Friends, we don't want to die. We want to be a people who understand that we have been regenerated. Sin, deception, those things, they ruin us. They corrupt us. They cause us to decay spiritually. Notice Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. We'll go back to verse number 20 here in a minute of Ephesians chapter 4. But notice Ephesians 2. Glad to hear the pages turning. Friends, when we consider Ephesians chapter 2, notice the influencer, the one that desires for us to identify with him. And you hath he made alive. Talking to Christians, remember? Who were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sins. Notice the two there. Wherein in time past you walked, past tense, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the attitude, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Question, who's influencing me? What is influencing me? Why is it influencing me? Look at Romans 6, verse 17. In Romans 6, verse 17, as we continue this train of thought, friends, God wants us to have the right mindset. He wants us to be aware of what's going on around us. But God be thanked that ye were, notice the past tense language there, the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart, so forth and so on. We'll get back to that in a second. Question, what are we teaching our children as it relates to sin? In order for us to teach them properly, we have to know what sin is ourselves. Put these in your notes. Don't have time to look into all of these, but put these in your notes. What does an archaic man look like according to the scriptures? What does the old man look like according to the scriptures? What does a corrupt man, a defiled man, a ruined man look like according to the scriptures? Romans 1 verses 18 through 32, put that in your notes. 1 Corinthians 5 verses 9 through 11. Galatians 5 verses 19 through 21. Ephesians 5 verses 25 through 31. Colossians 3 verses 5 through 9 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 9. I don't have time to look into all of that. And when I put those in my notes, for some reason in my mind, I said, I'm going to read all of those. That was foolish, wasn't it? Mike, what are you thinking? You know, sometimes we get a little bit anxious. Sometimes we get a little bit on the that side that we want to do all the this teaching, and sometimes we just don't have time to do all of that. But I do want us to turn to Ephesians 4 again. Friends, as Christians, we didn't learn that. We didn't learn that from God. We didn't learn those lifestyles of fornication and extortion and idolatry and covetousness. We didn't learn those things from Christ. Ephesians 4, notice verse number 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. I love the original. You have not learned Christ in this way. You didn't learn Christ this way. Christ didn't teach you this. He changed your behavior through his teaching. No longer are you governed by the archaic way of thinking. Sinful man. Sinful ideas. But now there's a fresh way of thinking. He has changed your behavior, your attitude, your outlook on life in all spiritual matters. Notice verse number 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, where is the truth? It's in Jesus. Question. Here's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we allowing Christ to teach me? To teach us? The truth is in Jesus, nowhere else. That's where God put the truth. We need to be taught by Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus would say in John 6, 45 and 46, that everyone that come unto him are drawn to him. The Father draws him through the teaching, through the instruction, which means that we must position ourselves to put away the archaic, corrupt, sinful way of thinking and allow the Word of God to govern our thinking, to influence us in every single way. So how is this done? Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2. Look at verse 4. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 4, you got to have a how. Got to have a how. Number one, we see God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Follow my chain of thinking. Go to Titus chapter 3, real quick. Titus chapter 3. Let's start at verse number 1. And I want us to notice something real quick that's very important as it relates to our way of thinking. How does God do this? In verse number 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. I love how Paul puts himself in the equation there. He was humble, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and even hating one another. You know people like that? But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to Ephesians 2 verse 4, his mercy. Friends, there is not a person that's going to be saved outside of the mercy of God. How does God change our way of thinking? Through his mercy, through his grace, his teachings. The very fact that God allows us to come into his presence ought to humble us. The more that I read the Old Testament, Brother Raphael, the more that I listen to it and I see people coming into the presence of God, watch it now. They come falling on their knees before God. They have the attitude, I owe you everything, you owe me nothing. Notice what he goes on to say. This is powerful. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. There's that freshness right there. The washing of regeneration, friends, that's baptism. The renewing of the Holy Spirit, that's his word. They go hand in hand. Put this in your notes. John 3, 3 through 5. Remember, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and he told him that he had to be born again of what? Water and spirit. There it is. How can a person, how can we as the people of God truly understand and truly appreciate the benefit that we have, listen to this, of being regenerated, being renewed, a different mindset, a fresh way of looking at things, having the attitude of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we're walking around and people are taking advantage of us all of the time, but it does mean that we're walking around and we're looking at what is best for the Lord's people and what is best for mankind and what is best for me spiritually. This marvelous grace. Notice what he goes on to say. Notice the benefits here, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we'll go there in a second, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul, what are you saying? This fresh life that we have now, because of the grace of God, which is his teachings, which is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Him coming to save man from his sins. Us abiding in the Word of God, John 15. Us loving God so much that we truly want to have the attitude that He has. And friends, as Christians, this is where we struggle. In this body, if we're not feeling good sometimes, at least me, man, don't bother me today. Go ahead and smile, because that's true. That's how we act sometimes. Sometimes we act like that with our own people in our own house. I don't feel like being bothered today. Leave me alone. Well, hold on. Is that the fresh attitude that God wants His people to have? The answer is what? Mm-mm. The answer is no. That's the old man. That's the ancient man. That's the archaic way of thinking. And here we understand that the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, and we're going to be looking at the church at Corinth. We already saw the church at Colossae. We already saw the church at Corinth. Hey, that old way of thinking, no, that ain't good. There's a new way of thinking, and it is designed to change the behavior of man. And friends, that's what the Bible's about. The Bible is about changing our behavior. And one cannot have the behavior of Christ unless they're in Christ. So the question is this. Can a person continue in the behavior of those things that I gave you in Romans chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 3, in 1 Timothy chapter 3? Can he or she continue in that behavior and have a fresh way of thinking? Oh. It irks me sometimes when I have a bad attitude toward my family. That irks me sometimes. You know why? Because you got to go back and say you're sorry. I'm just being honest. I mean, if you want to be right, you want to lay down and with the wife and you're like, baby, you all right? Don't be trying to get all lovey-dovey with me and you talk me to me crazy all day long. Behavior. It's behavior. When a person is living with a person that's not their spouse, that's the wrong behavior. When a person is disobeying the civil laws, that's wrong behavior. God is trying to cultivate and develop our behavior. Look at Ephesians 2. Look at verse number 8. In Ephesians 2, and friends, it's right. Let me take that back. It's possible to adhere to sound doctrine in teaching and preaching, yet not practice it. Jesus would say it like this: why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6, verse 46. But notice the encouragement in Ephesians 2 and verse number 8 and following. For by grace, remember, grace teaches, Titus 2, 11 and 12, are you saved? That's delivered from sin through faith, talking about the system of Christ, and that not of yourselves, not your own way of thinking or own conjured up plan of salvation. It is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're talking about that Mosaic system. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, that's the location, unto good works. Hold on. Why would He say in verse number 9 that you're not saved by works? And then here He'll say that you must be doing works. Because here He's talking about a system of Moses. And then the second good works, He's talking about now that you're in Christ, you need to be laboring in Christ. And what is a good work? I'll tell you what a good work is. Ephesians 4, our speech, good work. Talking to people about the gospel is a good work. Those who may be hungry, Matthew 25, that's a good work, feeding them. It's a good work. Cultivating that new man, that's a good work. Those are good works. Friends, it's vitally important for us as Christians to realize that God is trying to cultivate our behavior. It matters how I act. Amen. It matters. Why? Because when I look at Jesus Christ and I look at the example that he set, he always acted appropriately and in accordance to the will of God. 100% of the time. So what about us? Friends, we have to crucify that old man. Romans 6. We have to be willing to put off that old man and his deeds. Colossians 3:9. We must be willing to be involved in good works at any cost. Why? Because look what God did for us by sending his son. And no wonder Paul would tell, again, these Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a new man. You're not the old man you used to be. So now you're sharp in the word, not dull, Hebrews 5. You're not spoiled and corrupted, Ephesians chapter 4. You're not separated from God, James chapter 1. God wants us to be a people who realize I got worth. And friends, if you don't think that you have worth, you need to look to the cross. The cross teaches me I'm worth something. And it's interesting that Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Hold on. God, are you saying that the sinner who is outside of Christ now, who's out there indulging in sin right now, he's worth something to you? Yes, he is. He's worth something. What is he worth? He's worth the blood of my son. And that's what makes us so important. And this is what makes us so valuable. Because the very fact that we have been baptized into Christ, we have been purchased by the blood of Christ, God saved us through the blood of his son, Romans 3 and verse 24. And friends, listen to this. Only persons can forgive. The person of God, he was the one that forgave, and he uses the blood of his son. I declare you right because of what my son did. And the very fact that you believe my son and you obeyed my son, I now declare you right. But you got to stay right. You got to stay in the system. You got to stay pure. You got to stay fresh. And this is why when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. It keeps us fresh. I make a mistake every now and then. I may say something, have no business every now and then, but I'm going to do what is right and say, you know what, I'm sorry. And sometimes those words are the hardest words. We make up terminology now. We won't say I'm sorry. We'll just say, okay. We good? You know how hard it is? Why y'all smile? I ain't got my glasses on. I can see y'all smiling. You know how hard it is to say I'm sorry? But that's the fresh attitude. That's the new man. And young people, when you get married, you need to learn that. That's probably the first lesson you need to learn. Because I'm pretty sure if you ain't messed up already, when you say I do, you did. And you're going to have to say I'm sorry every now and then, male and female. You know there's equality in marriage. Different roles, equality. You know we have to tell God we're sorry sometimes. But we say, I have sinned. Father, forgive me. I've sinned. I was listening to Daniel this morning. I'm going to let you go on this one. As I was listening to Daniel, Daniel said, all forgiveness and all mercies belong to God. I'm like, huh. That's right. When a person understands their relationship with Jehovah through Jesus Christ, they don't mind working up and mustering up that strength to say, I'm sorry. That's character, friends. And as Christians, we ought to have that type of character that people see Christ living in us. That we're adhering to sound doctrine, Titus 2:1. That we're striving to bring lost souls to Christ, Matthew 28. And we're looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12. And we want to hear, well done, Matthew 23. That even if we die, we want our name to be changed to blessed. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. Friends, how's your character? We're going to hear more lessons on these, on this subject, because Christianity is about changing our behavior into the behavior of Christ. We shouldn't let anything or anyone get in the way of that. We shouldn't let no job get in the way of that. We shouldn't let no individual outside or inside the church get in the way of our behavior being just like Christ. That's what it's about. So before we utter words, whether in the house, outside the house, ask yourself this. Is this behavior in decorum with Jesus Christ? If not, don't say it. Take that thought into captivity through the filter of the Word of God, Christ, and watch yourself. God will bless your life. I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to give the invitation, the lesson will be yours. Let us pray. Great God and Father, you're such a great God. Thank you for your word. It not only challenges us, but changes us. It helps us to be the people that you've called us to be. Father, it's difficult at times living in this flesh. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. We want to do what is right. That's why we're here. And as we come before you humbly, Father, we ask that you just strengthen us through thy word, through the fellowship of the brethren, through our own energy and mindset to do what is right. Father, I ask that you be with the elders of this congregation and their families. Strengthen them, bless them, help them. Help them to always realize that you're relying upon them to guard the sheep. Be with all the deacons here. Help them to always serve and do the best that they can do. Be with the ministers. Help us to always teach what is right. And if we ever find anything wrong, that we make it right. Be with every member, families, whether they have spouses or not. Be with their children. Pray to Father that they'll spend time with their children. Teach their children the ways of you. That their character may be the character that you would have them to be from a young age. That they will learn how to be just like your son, to think like him, to be like him. Help us, dear Father, as parents, to never give up, to always strive for righteousness and holiness. For that's the character that you're developing in us. And Father, when we make mistakes, whether at home, on a job, at school, give us the wisdom and strength to just make it right. To not live according to that ancient way of thinking, but according to that fresh way of thinking. Because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Pray that, dear Father, that we'll have all the spiritual strength that we need to continue to fight the good fight till we hear, well done. And Father, when you give us that crown of life, that will be enough. In Jesus' name, amen. You're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to think about changing your life, changing your behavior. No more filthy mouth. No more doing your own thing. But having words that build up, words of grace, words that edify, actions that mean something, not actions that will land you in jail or land you somewhere that you know you don't need to be. We want you to come out of that life. And that's why we're here as the Church of Christ here at 9th and Main, to help people have a better life. Because Jesus came that we may have the abundant life. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Then change your way of thinking. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water. for the remission of your sins. It's interesting. That freshness doesn't take place until you take a bath. Oh, this is not a bath for the physical flesh. This is a bath for the spiritual man that's in that physical flesh. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 through 24. That's what you want. Be faithful even to the point of death. Meaning that it doesn't matter how bad it gets out here. If another nation was to come over here and take over our nation and say, you denounce Christ, you say, no, kill me. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. And Jesus said, I will give you the crown of life. Maybe you're a child of God and your thinking hasn't been fresh. As a matter of fact, it's been far from fresh. It's been far from new. Let us encourage you. Let us exhort you to have the right way of thinking so you can be in accordance to the will of God. As we stand, as we sing the service invitation.